بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It brings me great pleasure again to introduce to you our next speaker, who is our dear, respected, beloved brother and teacher Abu Muhammad Al-Maghribi. And he will be continuing the works, going over, reviewing the works of our beloved Shaykh, rahimahullah, Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And we will continue right now with this next portion of the seminar entitled Benefiting from the Blessed Month of Ramadan. And I ask Allah that He make it for me and you all a benefit, and that He send
Amen.
His blessing. It be a time of blessing, an opportunity to gain nearness to Allah Jalla wa Ala. We will continue until dinner, which is at 7 p.m. bi-idhnillah, and we'll have dinner until Salatul Maghrib. And then after Salatul Maghrib, we will continue with our brother Abu Muhammad to give another lecture. It will be the final lecture for the evening between Maghrib and Salatul Isha. So without further ado, we begin with our brother Abu Muhammad.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. It's a pleasure to welcome all of you once again. We continue in this third session from our book, this booklet. The one who don't have a copy, we have copies, alhamdulillah, this booklet of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, 48 questions and answers. And this is for those who didn't get a copy yesterday. So those who had the copy and forget it or lost it, so except to our brother Sharif, inshallah. Nah. So these are 48 questions and answers by our noble Shaykh al-Allama, Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. السؤال الرابع بعض الأشخاص يأكلون والأذان الثاني يؤذن في الفجر لشهر رمضان فما هي صحة صومهم. A person ask, يا شيخ, some people they continue to eat while the adhan, the second adhan for Fajr, is called. When the muadhin began to call for Fajr, some people they continue to eat. This is in the month of Ramadan. What is about their fasting? Is it sound? قال الشيخ في الجواب إذا كان المؤذن يؤذن على طلوع الفجر يقينا فإنه يجب الإمساك من حين أن يسمع المؤذن فلا يأكل أو يشرب. So the Sheikh gives tafsil, details. He says if that muadhin, it is known, that person, it's known that he calls the adhan at the exact time for Fajr, as soon as you hear him starting the adhan, you stop. طيب, you stop eating and drinking. أما إذا كان يؤذن عند طلوع الفجر ظنا لا يقينا كما هو الواقع يقول كما هو الواقع في هذه الأزمان فإن له أن يأكل ويشرب إلى أن ينتهي المؤذن من الأذان. It's very important to remember these details, okay? He said, but as if the مؤذن, he's not sure and certain that this is the exact time for Fajr. Approximately, he says, like, this is the case in our times, he said. In our times, many of the muadhinin, they just call the adhan approximately around the time of Fajr. He said, in this case, continue to eat and drink until he finish. طيب, until he finish the muadhin. Now, السؤال الخامس, the fifth question. كثير من الناس في رمضان أصبح همهم الوحيد هو جلب الطعام والنوم أثناء النهار فأصبح رمضان شهر كسل وخمول كما أن بعضهم يلعب في الليل وينام في النهار فما توجيهكم لهؤلاء. Another question, he said, many people in Ramadan, it is known that their main concern is food. You will find them at the daytime, whether they are shopping for their cravings or they sleep. If they are not shopping, they sleeping. طيب, he said, Ya Shaykh, so much so that Ramadan become to certain people is a time of laziness. This is the time when they sleep. They say, oh, Ramadan comes, now it's going to get some sleep. All right? And they be lazy by not performing many acts that the people are doing in this blessed month of Ramadan. It is so much that some of the people, the night become to them a time of amusement. So they revive the night for what? They get together and talk and this and play games. While in the day, they sleep most of it. What is your advice for such people, Ya Shaykh? قال الجواب. So the answer of the Shaykh says, أرى أن هذا في الحقيقة يتضمن إضاعة الوقت وإضاعة المال. The Shaykh says, in reality, his opinion that those people who do these actions, they are wasting both times and wealth. إذا كان الناس ليس لهم هم إلا تنويع الطعام والنوم في النهار والسهر على أمور لا تنفعهم في الليل فإن هذا لا شك إضاعة فرصة ثمينة ربما لا تعود إلى الإنسان في حياته. He said, if these people, their main concern this blessed month of Ramadan is just to run after fulfilling their desires and to eat, that's all what on their mind, what we're going to eat at Maghrib, and they prepare it and go and shop for it, and also sleep in most of the days, and at the night they stay up and get together, doing things that have no benefit from them. He says, no doubt that this considered from wasting time and wasting this golden opportunity, actually, he says, this great opportunity that it may not go, a person may not be alive for the next one. Okay, may not be alive to attend the next one. فالرجل الحازم هو الذي يتمشى في رمضان على ما ينبغي من النوم في أول الليل والقيام في التراويح والقيام آخر الليل إذا تيسر. He says the person who really knows what's good for him and diligent to do what is good, to do what's good for them, this is the person who he prepare himself for Ramadan. And he utilize the days and the night in a manner that benefits this person. For example, the Shaykh says, if this person gonna, for example, after Isha, if this person he's gonna pray Qiyam al-Layl before Fajr, then he go to sleep early after Isha. Go to sleep early and then he get up before Fajr and pray Qiyam al-Layl. But if this person now he's gonna pray Taraweeh with the Jama'ah, and the jama'ah in the masjid, they prayed immediately after Isha. So he will pray that with them and go home. Aynam. And get some rest. And get up again before Fajr. Read Quran. Make istighfar. Ibadat. Naam. وكذلك لا يسرف في المآكل والمشارب. Likewise, the Muslim should not go to extreme and think, okay, Ramadan is just the time and a moment and the month when a person gonna eat all he wants. No, be in moderation. You eat what you can, the little bit, so that you gain strength. وينبغي لمن عنده القدرة أن يحرص على تفطير الصوام إما في المساجد أو في أماكن أخرى لأن من فطر صائما له مثل أجره. And the Shaykh, he advises us to do something, a noble action. He says, be from those, if you have the ability, be from those people who they provide food for the fasting people to break the fast and to eat, whether at the masjid or whether in other places.
So you bring some food to the masjid and the people, they will eat from it, or you can invite them in your house, or you can take them to a restaurant if it's available and close to the masjid, inshallah ta'ala, and provide some food. لأن من فطر صائما له مثل أجره. He says, because when a person give food to eat for a person to break the fast with, he will get the same reward, alhamdulillah, of that fasting person. without diminution, of course. He's not going to share half and half the reward. No, he will get the same reward, but still the fasted person get the same reward, alhamdulillah. فَإِذَا فَطَّرَ الْإِنسَانُ إِخْوَانَهُ الصَّائِمِينَ فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ مِثْلَ أُجُورِهِمْ فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَنْتَهِزَ الْفُرْصَةَ مِنْ أَغْنَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَتَّى يَنَالَ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. He says, so those people, as Muslims, we should take advantage of this great opportunity when the people are fasting. Because after Ramadan, now it's few people that fast Mondays and Thursdays. You may be in a community that nobody fasts. And even those who are fast, you don't know they fast, and they don't want to let you know they fast. They keep it between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to have some dates and some water in his car, and he's in a parking lot, he's going to sit and come to the masjid like... But in Ramadan, you know that the people are fasting. Okay, so this is a great opportunity, especially for those who are able, they have money. Spend your wealth for the sake of Allah. Bring that which the people break the fast is good for you and for them.
As Su'al said, is the sixth question. بعض أئمة المساجد في رمضان يطيلون في الدعاء وبعضهم يقصر من في الدعاء فما هو الصحيح؟ This person wants to know, he said, in Ramadan, some أئمة, the imams of the masajid, some of them, when they make the دعاء in صلاة التراويح, القنوت, he says, some of them, they make it long دعاء, some they make it very short دعاء. What is the right? Who's right in here? Those who make a long dua or those who make a short dua? Al-jawab, the answer, قال الصحيح أن لا يكون غلوا ولا تقصيرا. He said the proper and the sound thing to be done, it shouldn't be no extreme. Don't go to one extreme as for those who they make a long dua, and the other extreme, those people make it very short dua. قال فالإطالة التي تشق على الناس منهي عنها. He says, the imam who keep the people there for a while, for a long time, making dua, and become a difficult upon the people and a hardship upon them. This is something that is prohibited. Okay? Anything that the imam will do that will bring, result in bringing difficulty and harm upon the people that are praying behind him is prohibited. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ لما بلغ أن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه أطال الصلاة في قومه غضب صلى الله عليه وسلم غضبا لم يغضب في موعظة مثله قط وقال لمعاذ بن جبل أفتان أنت يا معاذ. الحديث متفق عليه عند البخاري ومسلم. And the Shaykh mentioned an incident that took place in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and is pertaining to one of the great companions from the scholars, the ulama, and the well learned amongst the companions, معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he used to pray Isha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to go back and lead his people in the salat. But he recited long, tayyib, so much so that one of the people, he left the salat because it was so long. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was informed, he got very angry. The Shaykh, he says, in a way that he never got, they saw him in the anger. And he talked to Mu'ad and he said to him, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاد. Are you causing problems to go through trials, O Mu'ad? Mean by causing them difficulty? Because this man, he has left. And other people, they were like, why this man left the salat? أَيْنَام. قَلْ فَالَّذِي يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَقْتَسِرَ عَلَى الْكَلِمَاتِ الْوَارِدَةِ أَوْ يَزِيدَ قَلِيلًا لَا يَشُقْ. He said, the Shaykh, he says, actually what the Imam should do, he should learn what the Prophet ﷺ, what he taught us in the Sunnah, the dua, in the Ufal Qunut. Don't add nothing, except for a little thing. If he wants that, it won't result in bringing harm and difficulty upon the people. قال ولا شك في الإطال في أن الإطال شاق على الناس وترهقهم ولا سيما الضعفاء منهم. He says, especially now when the Imam make a long dua, and keep on that. On top of that, that was maybe a long recitation too. A long recitation, lying rak'ah, and long taraweeh. Now there is a long dua that will bring a hardship to the people, especially the weak amongst them. قال وكذلك من الناس من يكون وراءه أعمال ولا يحب أن ينصرف قبل الإمام ويشق عليه أن يبقى مع الإمام. So now, also, he said, certain people, they may have things to do. They just came to pray Taraweeh, but he has to go to work. He got somebody sick in the family, for example. He got things to do. And this person, he would love to stay with the imam until the imam finish. He don't want to leave after 8 rak'at. You know, he knows the imam, he knows the hadith actually that we learned yesterday. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, whoever stood with the imam, meaning in Taraweeh, until the imam finished, he get the reward of the whole night. So this man wants to get this great reward. So he said, likewise, the imam should not make it difficult on these people. قال فنصيحة الإخوان الأئمة أن يكونوا بين كذلك ينبغي أن يترك الدعاء أحيانا حتى لا يظن العامة أن القنوت واجب في الوتر. So the Sheikh gave an advice. He says, my brothers from the A'imma of the Masajid who lead the Taraweeh, he says, especially in the dua, they have to be doing it in moderation. Okay? And also he says, they should leave the dua sometimes. Not qunut every night. No, one night or couple nights he make the dua, couple other nights, no dua. Okay, so that, because if he make the dua all time, the laymans may think that the dua al-qunut is wajib. And that happened to us before. We skip the dua and we find the layman, they come, hey, is this salat now jaiz, ya akhi? Is the salat is sound, sahih? Why? You didn't make qunut. You see? But we teach them, we tell them now. The same time, some awam, they think that the imam on yawmul jumu'ah for fajr, he has to recite in the first rak'ah Surah Al-Sajda. Alif Lam Mim, Al-Sajda. And in the second rak'ah, he has to recite Al-Insan. That's why it's good sometimes in the imam of the masjid not to recite them, to recite something else. So that the people, they know that it's not obligatory. It's not obligatory now. السؤال السابع, ما صحة حديث أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم? This person wants to know what is the authenticity of this hadith. أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم. Both the one who performed copying and the one who was performed for, if they do it in the day of Ramadan, that breaks their fast. قال هذا الحديث صححه الإمام أحمد رحمه الله وكذلك شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية وابن القيم وغيرهم من المحققين وهو صحيح لكن في الشرح الممتع الشيخ يقول قد ضعفه بعض أهل العلم في الصفحة 79 بعد 100 نعم قال وضعفه أي نعم وهذا الحديث ضعفه بعض أهل العلم وقالوا إنه لا يصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمن ضعفه فإنه لا يستدل به ولا يأخذ به لهذا في المسألة فيها خلاف مسألة الحجامة هل تفطر ولا فيها خلاف علي عند الشيخ يسأل الشيخ ابن عثيمين يسأل this hadith there is a difference of opinions amongst the ulama some of them they said it's sahih and sound and therefore they built the hukum on it okay that the hijama breaks the fast if a person perform it in the day of Ramadan but also there is as the Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen he mentioned in الشرح الممتع the volume 6 in page 379 in the section of fasting he says likewise some of the ulama they said that this hadith is weak so therefore those who say it's weak they do not apply this hadith and they don't consider that the hijama break the fast okay and the Sheikh mentioned that this is a khilaf بين أهل العلم نعم على أن الشيخ يقول فإذا كان السائم محتاجا إلى الحجامة قلنا أفطرت فكل واشرب من أجل أن تعود قوة البدن وهذا كلام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية كذلك ذكره الشيخ في الشرح الممتع الحكمة من إفطار المحتجم وأنه يضعف البدن لأن كمية كبيرة من الدم لا بد أن يسترد قوته وإن بقى صائما إلى الغروب هذا يؤثر عليه أي نعم فهو مطالب بالحفاظ على صحته وعلى بدنه فيفطر وهذا من رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى ويقضي أي نعم So the Sheikh he says but if a person needs hijama if a person needs it have a bad headache somebody tell him look you have to do the hijama you can wait until Maghrib and the like Then that breaks his fast. It breaks his fast. He said especially that, and he mentioned also, this is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. It is not found in this little booklet, but it is found in Sharh al-Mumti' of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, that when the person receives copying, That takes a lot of blood, significant amount of blood, which results in fatigue and weakness of the body. And if that person continue fasting until Maghrib, that's going to have an impact on his health. So that's why he break the fast and eat, alhamdulillah, some beverages so to regain strength. And then this is from the Rahmah of Al-Islam. And then they will make it from another day. As-su'al al-thamin, as you've seen me, I'm getting a little bit speed, right? Huh? As long as I don't get no tickets. All right? And stay in my lanes, right? So, but if you see me going fast, because we want to get at least close to the end. We would love to finish this booklet. But inshallah, but the benefit is to understand as well. So if you see me going fast, tell me to slow down, inshallah, okay? As-su'al, ماذا? What question we're in now? Al-thamin, 8. ما حكم ذهاب أهل جدة إلى مكة لصلاة التراويح? This is a question pertaining to the people who live in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. They live in Jeddah, but then they want to go and pray Taraweeh in Mecca, in the Haram. And you know, because of the nobility of the place and the nobility of the time. Fadlu al-zaman wal-makan. Okay, there is two nobilities, the time, which is the month of Ramadan, and the makan, which is al-shahr al-haram. That the Prophet ﷺ, he says, the salat is better there in the Masjid al-Haram 100,000 times. Mi'at alf salat. Bi mi'ati alfi salat. And also to give you keep in mind that Jeddah is like 45 minutes from Mecca. So if a person break the fast in his house in Jeddah, can still catch the Salat al-Isha, alhamdulillah, and the Haram and pray Taraweeh, and still make it back home by midnight or so, inshallah, okay? Or 1 o'clock a.m., something like that. So what is the rule in Israel? These people, they leave their city to go to the Haram to pray Taraweeh. قال لا حرج في أن يذهب الإنسان إلى المسجد الحرام كي يصلي فيه التراويح لأن المسجد الحرام مما يشد إليه الرحال. So it's okay for a person to go to the Masjid al-Haram to pray the Taraweeh in there. It's okay for you if you can. You here in Florida, if you are able to go, you can go pray Taraweeh, but not like people of Jeddah. You break the fast in here at Maghrib, and then you're going to go here Taraweeh. Nah, I like this. We're not Sufis in here. Like those crazy Sufis who they don't pray. They're in some villages in Africa, as the people who witnessed this, some of them are Shaykh, like Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, who he narrated this to Sheikh bin Sa'di. As we heard, some of the Shaykh, like Sheikh Muhammad, Falah Ismail Mandikar, he narrated this. He says that Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami told him in his area, in village when he was in Ethiopia, there was this big Sufi guy, and they call him Sheikh, big Sheikh, but he don't pray. So they gathering with him, the Muridin, they call him the Muridin. They gathering, when Salat al-Maghrib comes, they cover him with the green cover. They tell everybody, leave, leave. Only those close to him, they stay. He says they cover him. Sheikh Muhammad Aman, he said, I was a little guy. I was young, maybe 4 or 5. They don't go to the masjid yet. So he said, I used to see that. So they cover him. And then after Salat al-Maghrib is finished, those Muridin, these students, they're the first one to come. And then they open and he's sitting. And then he's like, oh, he just prayed the Maghrib in Mecca. Yeah, he just prayed Maghrib in Mecca. Yeah, when they were praying Maghrib in their masjid, in their village in Africa, he already went to Mecca. How? He's a sheikh, big sheikh. Huh? Allah give him karama. He go and pray Maghrib. And he came back. Okay, they talk. Isha comes, the same thing. Sheikh, he don't go to the masjid pray. All of them go pray. Came back, he prayed in Isha in Mecca. And he will tell them, if in Hajj time, he'll tell them, oh, I saw the people from the village in Hajj. They all give you salam. Sheikh Falah Ismail, he says, when Sheikh Muhammad Aman, he told him, when Sheikh Muhammad Aman was narrating this to Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Sa'di, because he was one of his teachers, he said, something wrong with you people of Africa, man. He said, why, Sheikh? He said, how this person going to pray Maghrib? He's in Africa. The time of Maghrib in Africa is different than the time in Saudi, in the Haram. They ain't going to pray Maghrib, you know. You know. Like another person, a Sufi, big Sheikh, he was a student, alhamdulillah, he learned and he went back to his village and he telling the people, this is a Sufi, this is what he's doing, is not from the Sunnah, he lies and he's using you, they don't want to hear. So he wants to prove that this man, he said, subhanAllah, this man, he goes, there is no such thing. This man, while we pray in Maghrib here, he go and pray in Mecca? Come on, guys. He no jet. Do you see any jet out there? And even if he has a jet, that jet take a couple of hours to get there. And even if we get there, they already prayed Maghrib before us. When you pray Asr, they already pray in Maghrib. They like, hey, listen, that's the Sheikh. That's the Sheikh. So one day he said, okay. He invited the Sheikh. And he gave him some food, hot food. A spicy food. And he told him, because you're a big Sheikh, I'm going to take care of you. And he said, you're going to sleep in my house. So he put him in this house and he locked the doors. When he came for Fajr, he knocked at the Sheikh. He's knocking at the door. I got to get out. I got to get out. Use the bathroom. He said, when I come back from Fajr. So when he go pray the Fajr, he tell the people of the village, come see your Sheikh. Come see your Sheikh. He didn't pray with us. They said, oh yeah, maybe he's praying in Mecca. He said, all right, pray in Mecca, come. So they came back, they hear he's knocking. Oh, get me out, let me out. He said, why you want to let you out? He said, I want to use the bathroom. Then he said, did you pray Fajr? Yeah, I just came from Mecca and prayed Fajr. He said, why didn't you use the bathroom over there? Why didn't you use the bathroom in Mecca? Allah Musta'an. Allah Musta'an. The Sufis, akhwan, if we sit here tell you their stories, Allahu al-Musta'an. But still, jahl, people, man, they still think that he's the big Sheikh. Yeah, Sheikh don't pray. Sheikh smoke cigarettes. Sheikh do haram. And they like he's a Sheikh. They says, no, this Sheikh, he reached a level of iman that he don't even have to pray anymore. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to pray until his feet swell. But dear Sheikh Sufi Sheikh, they said, now he reached a level with Allah that he don't have to pray. No problem. We ask Allah to keep us firm upon the haq. Ameen. Now, so the Sheikh, he said, it's okay for these people to go and pray in the haram. For us, it's okay for a person to prepare and go make umrah in Ramadan for the virtue, as we're going to learn in one of the questions. قال أين قال ولكن إذا كان الإنسان موظفا أو كان إماما في مسجد فإنه لا يدع الوظيفة أو يدع الإمام ويذهب إلى الصلاة في المسجد الحرام الله أكبر. So now the Sheikh, he gave a general ruling. It's okay if someone lives in Jeddah and he wants to go and pray عشاء and تراويح in the haram, it's okay. Because it is permissible to travel with the intention to go to a certain masjid. 3 masajid actually, that's it. Other than them, it's not permissible to make your intention to go visit certain masjid here or there. You don't go with the intention, oh, I'm going to make my intention to travel to visit a masjid in Alabama. No, you don't do that. You don't travel with that intention. It's not from the sunnah. There is only 3 masajid that you have. If you make your intention to visit them, it's permissible. The Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and the Prophet's Masjid, and then Masjid al-Aqsa. That's it. However, the Sheikh, he said, but now, if this person, he has a job in Jeddah, okay, he's an employee, or he worked for somebody, or he's an imam in a Masjid in Jeddah, it's not permissible for him to leave his job, sneak, like they say, sneak the job. I'm going to go pray Tarawih, cover for me. Huh? When it's 11 o'clock, the timeout, you know, you remember? You click my card too. You remember how you used to do it? No, it's not like that, ya akhi. Or write my name today, tomorrow I write your name at 11 o'clock. No. This is deception and this is lies. He says, and also, if a person is the imam of a masjid in Jeddah, it's not permissible for him to leave that masjid unattended and go pray Taraweeh. Limada? Who knows? Who can give me the answer? Why? Because the Shaykh gave the answer. Why? Why the imam of a masjid is not allowed to leave his masjid and go pray Taraweeh in Mecca? And why someone who has a job is not allowed to sneak from his job and go to pray? Why? Naam? Huh? It's in the air now. I don't know who's going to catch it. What you just said, can you put it in perspective? What's obligation and what's not obligation?
It's the obligation to support your desire.
Aina. Mm-hmm. And? You're right. Both of you are right.
What's obligatory to fulfill that which is highly recommended?
Ahsant. That's the answer. You gave the half of the answer. The Sheikh says because that imam of the masjid or that employee that have a job in Jeddah, for instance, him going to pray Taraweeh, that's a sunnah. Right or wrong? But him fulfilling his obligations as an imam or as a worker for somebody, that's a what? Obligation upon him. It's wajib. And he should not leave a wajib to for a sunnah. Aina. وَلَا يُمْكَنَ أَنْ يُتْرِكَ الْوَاجِبَ مِنْ أَجْلِ فِعْلِ السُنَّةِ قال وقد بلغني أن بعض الأئمة يتركون مساجدهم ويذهبون إلى مكة من أجل الاعتكاف في المسجد الحرام أو من أجل صلاة التراويح وهذا خطأ الله أكبر لأن القيام بالواجب واجب والذهاب إلى مكة ولإقامة التراويح أو الاعتكاف ليس بواجب سبحان الله لقد علماء he says he came to my intention to my attention because people they ask him these questions the sheikh he said that some of the أئمة of the masajid they leave the masajid in Ramadan and they go pray Taraweeh in Mecca and some of them even go make i'tikaf in Mecca. He said, and this is wrong. Why is wrong? He said, because they cannot leave that which is obligatory upon them. He's the imam of the masjid. He's supposed to be there at the masjid. The ulama, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen and others, one of them said, however, if the imam organized his matters and he finds someone that will take his spot and given a permission by the authority that put him in there, labas. For example, in the masjid, if he's the imam of the masjid, if the authority, the department, he tell them, look, in Ramadan I would like to make i'tikaf. Then they will allow him. They will find somebody else to take his place and he will go. But just for him to leave the masjid unattended, لا ليس كذلك بارك الله فيك السؤال التاسع ما حكم تتبع الأئمة الذين في أصواتهم جمال what is the ruling on certain people who they just follow or they go to those follow the أئمة who they have beautiful voice in Ramadan we hear this oh man you gotta go to this masjid and you find the people they travel for far they leave their masajid and they go to another city why or they says man this man he imitate Mhaisni he imitate Maiqli he imitate Sudais you think Sudais is leading the salat so he said what is the ruling on this now قال ارى انه لا باس في ذلك لكن الافضل ان يصلي الانسان في مسجده لأجل أن يجتمع الناس حول إمامهم وفي مساجدهم ولأجل أن لا تخلو المساجد من الناس ولأجل أن لا يكثر الزحام عند المسجد الذي تكون قراءة إمامه جيدة فيحدث من هذا ارتباك وربما يحدث أمر مكروه وربما يتعارض الناس إلى أمور خاصة النساء إلى التضييق وذكر أشياء أخرى The Sheikh says for a person to go to as long as they don't travel in an area there is an imam who has a good, beautiful recitation. He said, I don't see no harm if a person wants to do that. He said, but what is better than that is that the person will pray in his local masjid. with his community, so that the people, they will pray behind their imam, in their masjid. Because now in another, the sheikh in another fatwa, he says, because, and other than him from the ulama, they mention, he says, because now the imam will feel some way when he see his community, the whole year they pray behind him, but Ramadan comes, they don't pray behind him. They leave him for somebody else. Okay? And their masjid now is empty, almost empty, says the sheikh. And also he said, when they go, all of them or most of them to one area, they make it crowd. So you find the people not only praying in the masjid, they pray in the streets and cause a lot of difficulty on themselves and on others. قال ولهذا نرى أن الإنسان يبقى في مسجده لما في ذلك من عمارة المسجد وإقامة الجماعة فيه واجتماع الجماعة على إمامهم والسلام من الزحام والمشقة. He said, for this reason we see that we recommend that the person pray in his local masjid, because this is how the people are maintaining the masajid, alhamdulillah, and they establish in the jama'a isha in it and in tarawih, and they pray behind their imam, and they pray together as a community, alhamdulillah, which strengthen their ranks, and also save them from mashaqqa, difficulty of going far, and then a lot of crowds and a traffic jam and all that. Now, السؤال العاشر, هل سحب الدم بكثرة يؤدي إلى إفطار الصائم? He's drawing blood, a lot of it, in a big quantity, such as, for example, donating blood and the like. Does it break the fast? Al-Jawab, the tenth answer to this tenth question. قال سحب الدم بكثرة إذا كان يؤدي إلى ما تؤدي إليه الحجامة من ضعف البدن واحتياجه للغذاء حكمه كحكم الحجامة. He says, now, if a person draw a large quantity of blood, which lead to the same consequences that cupping lead to by making the body weak, and then the person had to take some food and drink to regain strength, this he have the same hukum of hijama, the hukum of kapin. To the sheikh, yes, it breaks the fast. وَأَمَّا مَا يَخْرُجُ بِغَيْرِ اخْتِيَارِ الْإِنسَانِ مِثْلْ أَنْ تُجْرَحَ الرِّجْلِ فَتَنْزِفْ دَمًا كَثِيرًا فَإِنَّ هَذَا لَا يَضُرْ لِأَنَّهُ بِغَيْرِ إِرَادَةِ الْإِنسَانِ. Sheikh, he says, as for if a person lose a significant amount of blood due to a wound, he got a cut in his leg, for example, this doesn't break, this has no harm, because he didn't do it willingly. He didn't choose. Nobody chose to cut his foot. The Sheikh, that's what he mentioned, but also in other fatawa of the ulama, and from the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he didn't mention it as in this answer, but he's mentioned in other places from his fatawa and his work, rahimahullah. Likewise, Sheikh Fawzan, Sheikh Ibn Baz, and others, they said also taking blood out for blood test does not break the fast. Does not break the fast. Because it's a small amount and doesn't have any impact on the body. Now, السؤال الحادي عشر, the question number 11. بالنسبة لصلاة التراويح في ليلة العيد, هل تكمل أم لا? Now it is the people they pray in Taraweeh, but then at the last, in the end of Ramadan, at the 29th of Sha'ban, for example, after the 29th day, the moon was sighted, the Hilal was sighted, so tomorrow is Ramadan, the Eid, for example. Can they still pray Taraweeh? Can they still pray Taraweeh that night before the day of the Eid? قال إذا ثبت الهلال ليلة الثلاثين من رمضان فإنها لا تقام صلاة التراويح ولا صلاة القيام, وذلك لأن صلاة التراويح والقيام إنما هي في رمضان, فإذا ثبت خروج الشهر فإنها لا تقام, يعني انقضي شهر رمضان, فينصرف الناس من مساجدهم إلى بيوتهم, يعني المعتكفين, وكذلك بعد صلاة العشاء. The Sheikh says, now if the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal is confirmed at the 30th night of Sha'ban. What is the 30th night of Sha'ban here? What the Sheikh intend by the 30th night of Sha'ban? In our terms. What is it? Huh? Does the 30th night of Sha'ban, what is that? In our terms, what is it? I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. Tonight, this night that's coming now, at Maghrib, what is that? Today is Saturday, right? So it's Saturday night. Huh? Saturday night or Sunday night? Which one? Who says Sunday night? Sunday morning. No, it's night. It can't be morning. Is it day? No. Maghrib, ya Sheikh. Is it now Sunday night? At Maghrib now, we have a couple moments for Maghrib, and it become night. This coming night, what do we call it here in America? What they call it? Huh? Saturday night, right? But for the Muslims, what is it? It's Sunday night. It's the night of Sunday because the night precedes the day. So actually, this is the night of Sunday. So when you say the night, the 30th night, meaning the night that come after what day? The end of what day? The 29th. Math. It's not fiqh. What come after 29? 30. I know. Simple math, actually. No algebra, no nothing. So now he said, because the Prophet ﷺ, he says the month is only 29 or 30. There is no 28. There is no February in the Hijri calendar. Alright? The Prophet ﷺ, he says, Ash-shahru tis'atun wa ishrun aw thalathun. So in the Hijri month, we don't have 28, we don't have 31. The month has to complete 29. So this Sha'ban now, what's the day today? 18th. Alright, 18th. Can we sight the moon today, tonight? Huh? We can't. We have to wait until the 29th. When the day, the 29th day come to an end, then you can sight. If the crescent of Ramadan was sighted, that's the first night of Ramadan. Okay? Alayin. So the Sheikh, he says, if the Hilal is sighted, that's it. There's no more Taraweeh that night. Let's say as an example, at Maghrib, mashallah, after Maghrib immediately we know. Let's say this is Ramadan. Okay? And today is the 29th day of Ramadan. We're fasting, alhamdulillah. But then right after Maghrib, the Hilal was sought. Tomorrow is Ramadan, there will be no Taraweeh tonight. Shawwal, no Taraweeh tonight, okay? Why? Because Taraweeh and Qiyam, they are specific for Ramadan. But once the Hilal of Shawwal is sighted, Ramadan come to an end now. So what's the Sheikh here? The answer is that no Taraweeh at the last night, after the last day in Ramadan, okay? No Taraweeh. Nah. Rather, the people who make an i'tikaf, they go home. And those who are not making i'tikaf, after Isha, they go home. It will be no Taraweeh. The same way, if tomorrow is Ramadan, for example, if tomorrow is Ramadan, when the Taraweeh starts? Tonight. The night before the day, before even we began fasting, we pray Taraweeh already. Okay? Nah. Question number 12. هل للمعتكف في الحرم أن يخرج للأكل أو الشرب وهل يجوز له الصعود إلى سطح المسجد لسماع الدروس? Is it permissible for the mu'takif, the person who is making i'tikaf in the haram, to leave the haram, the masjid, to eat? Because the restaurants and the food courts, they are outside the masjid, they are not inside the masjid. And this is especially for someone who didn't bring the food with him, as the Sheikh is going to mention. And also it is permissible for this person to go to the roof of the masjid, because for those who have been there, Right now, I don't know if they finish or not, but at least last, we were in a couple months ago, in March, there was no roof because they were still doing the construction. You've seen it, right? Even if you didn't make Umrah or nothing, you see it in YouTube. You just go to YouTube and put the Haram constructions or renovation, you will see they're still working. So there is no roof because before used to be the roof, beautiful, subhanAllah, nice, especially in Ramadan, but crowded there. It's amazing. Be very crowded. So the people they used to go, it's permissible for them to go upstairs to listen because Lara Mashaykh, they give classes on the roof. Okay? But for them to do that, they have to leave the Haram to go to the elevators and escalators to go up. Tayyib. I'm just giving you a little bit of so you can understand the question. The Sheikh in the answer, he says, yes, يجوز للمعتكف في المسجد الحرام أو غيره أن يخرج للأكل والشرب إن لم يكن في إمكانه أن يحضرهما إلى المسجد لأن هذا أمر لا بد منه. He said, yes, it is permissible for the person who is making i'tikaf in Ramadan, for example, in the Masjid al-Haram or other than the Masjid al-Haram, okay, to leave the Masjid to eat, to get some food and to get some drink. If he didn't bring or is not allowed to have food in the Masjid, okay? He said, because this is a necessity. Person is not going to leave without food and water. كما أنه سوف يخرج لقضاء الحاجة وسوف يخرج للاغتسال من جنابة إذا كانت عليه الجنابة. So the same way, person who's making i'tikaf, he has to leave the masjid to do what? To use the bathroom. Because the bathrooms are not in the masjid. They're not inside the masjid and they shouldn't. Okay? The bathrooms, they are on the restroom, they're outside the masjid. Alright? So like here, for example, in your masjid, this is the masjid right here, the area. The bathrooms are outside the masjid. They are outside. The bathrooms are not a part of the masjid. And they shouldn't be inside the masjid. In the haram, they have bathrooms outside. You have to leave and go underground for those who made Hajj or Umrah. You know what I'm talking about. If not, you can visit one of the clips on YouTube. They can tell you. Just put restrooms haram. They will tell you. Okay? So you have to leave the masjid, to exit the masjid and walk on the courtyard of the masjid, go downstairs or upstairs, whatever the case is, and then, he said to the Shaykh, yes, it's permissible, because this is necessity. As for, also, if that mu'takif has a wet dream, now he has to make ghusl, where is he going to make ghusl at? Bring like a couple of spring pollen, spring water, and make ghusl here? You're like a plastic bag in the corner of the masjid? Can't do that. No, you leave out and make ghusl. It's okay. It's permissible. Likewise, the Sheikh says it's okay if a person wants to go and listen to the classes that they are on the roof. لا بأس إن شاء الله تعالى. Question number 13. شاب استمنى في رمضان جاهلا بأنه يعني الاستمناء يفطر وفي حالة غلبت عليه شهوته فما الحكم. So this is a shab, a young man, he masturbated in the day of Ramadan, but not knowing the ruling. He didn't know. He was ignorant. He don't know that masturbation break the fast. And also he said, this young boy, you young man, he was overwhelmed by his desires. So what is the ruling? قال الحكم أنه لا شيء عليه. The Sheikh, he says, there is nothing against this young man as related to his fast. Okay, as related to the fast. He says, as we mentioned before, he says, قررنا لا بد من شروط. العلم يكون عالما لا جاهلا ذاكرا لا ناسيا ومكرها لا مريدا. Because as we learned yesterday, alhamdulillah, all of these things that break the fast, they break the fast only if a person, number with three conditions. Number one, he knows the ruling, that these are things break the fast. If he is ignorant, do not. Number two, he doing it knowing what he's doing. But if he forget, like someone who forget and eat, nothing against them. And number three, not being forced and compelled to do it, meaning willingly he did this. And then the Sheikh, he mentioned the ruling on istimna that is not permissible and the like. You can review it in that, inshallah ta'ala. السؤال الرابع عشر ما حكم الصوم مع ترك الصلاة في رمضان. Here is a question. It said, what is the ruling on fasting? Is the fasting of a person, this person, there is a person he fasts, but he don't pray. Person don't pray, but Ramadan comes and they fast. What is the ruling of their fasting? But they don't pray, this person don't pray. قال الشيخ في الجواب إن الذي يصوم ولا يصلي لا ينفعه صيامه ولا يقبل منه ولا تبرأ به ذمته بل إنه ليس مطالبا به ما دام لا يصلي لأن الذي لا يصلي مثل اليهودي والنصراني. قال فما رأيكم أن يهوديا أو نصرانيا صام وهو على دينه فهل يقبل منه؟ لا. إذا نقول لهذا الشيخ شخص تب إلى الله بالصلاة وصوم ومن تاب تاب الله عليه. The Sheikh, he gave a summarized answer because he didn't expand on the ruling of the person who does not pray and the like. But briefly, he says the person who fasts in Ramadan but does not pray, that fasting will be of no benefit for such a person. It won't be accepted from him. It will not be accepted from such a person. And does not free him from the responsibility. Rather, this person doesn't even fast as long as they pray. They don't pray. He says, because the one who does not pray is like the Jew and the Christian, the one who don't pray. And then the Sheikh said, what do you say now about a Jew or a Christian, they fast? They fast in the month of Ramadan, but they still on their religion. He's still a Jew and a Christian. Is Allah going to accept from them? No. They won't accept from them. He says, so therefore we advise this person and say to him, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah by giving up this sin which not praying and began to pray and perform the prayers. And whoever repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the repentance. We do one more. It's time for the food. Is ready everything? And we tell the people 7 o'clock? It's after 7. 1 minute, right? طيب, we'll stop here, inshallah ta'ala, because we have to stick with the program. Barakallahu feekum. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.